Welcome to TJ Frog's podcast, where I chat about my knitting, Dorset buttons, and creativity in general, as well as sharing my love of Scotland, especially the Highlands and Islands. Hello, I'm Tanya, aka TJ Frog, or sometimes called the Button Lady. And in my creative business, I predominantly make and promote the traditional craft of Dorset buttons, which dates back to the early 1600s, a cottage industry that employed many people in Dorset on the south coast of England. Brought up in Dorset, I now live on the Isle of Skye, and wherever you may be in the world, welcome and thank you for joining me for my 13th episode, Edinburgh Yarn Festival 2018. Another slightly different episode, abbreviated from my usual sections. Firstly, the weather. I'm still going to be talking about this. I just felt I really couldn't leave this one out. Secondly, Dorset buttons. And as the episode is called, this is pretty much about Edinburgh Yarn Festival. Although I will tell you about my latest making. Yes, I've cast on a project and I've finished a project. One of my purchases from Edinburgh Yarn Festival. And I also have four tiny sound bites from four Scottish vendors at the festival. There is a little bit of background noise, as you can probably appreciate, from the festival. So be aware of that when you listen to them. But they're only between 2 and 5 minutes long. So hopefully there's enough there that you can actually hear the conversation. Certainly for me, the first time that I listened to these, I was just whisked back to that corn exchange and the marketplace and the whole buzz. And I was missing it so much. So I hope you do enjoy those little sound bites that I've weaved into my chatter about the festival. The weather. Last time I was talking about the beast from the east, and there were certainly a few places on the east coast, the central belt and down south England that got affected with snow of quite huge quantities, actually, quantities that had not been seen for a number of years. I know where my parents live in Dorset, they had a huge amount of snow, and the last time they'd seen snow to that sort of depth and drifting was back in the 70s. So it was an unusual amount that fell in a quite short space of time as well. Then we had the mini beast from the east, and then another beast from the east, although I think that when that one was due to hit, they sort of downgraded the severity of it. Personally, I'm really grateful that the heavy, deep, drifting snow did not happen the weekend of Edinburgh Yarn Festival. It was unusual for the cities to have so much snow, and I know that there were other shows and events in and around Edinburgh that had to be cancelled as a result of all that snow that fell. And I just cannot imagine, for all of those organising, exhibiting, attending, just what would have happened if that had been the weekend of the festival. I do know that some of you still had your travel plans scuppered because of the weather the weekend of Edinburgh Yarn Festival, and that must have been really frustrating. I know as well that, you know, we did have some snow and it was really cold in Edinburgh, and a lot of you were standing in the queue. Hopefully you were all wrapped up in your gorgeous knitwear and pretty much warmed up quite soon after getting inside the building. I know on the last day when we were packing up all of our stuff, it was bitterly cold taking stuff out to the car. And it did snow on the Saturday evening after the main event. So if you stayed around in Edinburgh, like us, you probably woke to a good covering of snow on the Sunday morning. Fortunately, I was really happy to see that it didn't deter visitors going back to the Corn Exchange for the Meet the Shepherdess, and all the exhibitors managed to get there as well, so that was great news. We arrived home from Edinburgh, the daffodils were out in full bloom, and we've had some beautiful weather here on Skye. We've had the Northern Lights for a couple of nights, and it's been crispy cold, the light's been amazing, we've had some really calm, clear days. Lots of colours in the morning and in the evening. And anyone who came to Skye visiting over the Easter weekend, they were rewarded with great weather to go around exploring the island. Now, that's not to say that we've not had the odd little drop of rain here and there and the odd shower, but overall, it really has been very, very good weather. I was driving over to Inverness one day and it was 11 degrees outside and it was clear blue skies and sunshine, and the road warning matrix sign was saying yellow weather warning snow. And it all seems a bit odd to get your head around, but I know how quickly the weather can change in the Highlands. All in all, we're pretty happy with our winter here on our little corner of Skye. We've not had long periods of high winds, which is good for us. I know the winter's not over yet. I think it was a couple of years ago where we still had snow in late April. Although that year, I think it was 3 weeks later in May, we were the hottest place in the UK. So I could cope with that again. And this morning I went for a very short run. Well, okay, maybe it was a jog. Maybe it wasn't quite a run. Maybe it was just a jog. Along the seawall by Armadale, if any of you visited and you know where I am, down from the Armadale Castle. And the sun was shining. It was so still. And the tide was on the turn, which is a great time to look for otters. And yeah, a few minutes into my run, there was an otter perched on one of the rocks further out to sea, which was a great start to my day. I think the weather's supposed to pretty much continue quite still and, you know, some cold days, but some sunshine. So I'm looking forward to getting out and doing some more running now in this type of weather. Dorset Buttons. Edinburgh Yarn Festival 2018. What can I say? What can I say? I have struggled with this so much. Trying to capture the feeling, the atmosphere, the vibe, the buzz, the sense of connectedness. Is that a word? I think you hopefully you know what I mean. The global coming together of people with a shared interest, the immense array of colour, the range of yarn on offer from native single rare breeds to super soft merino, cashmere, fine silk, the quality and range of notions, the friendliness of everybody, the sharing of ideas, the podcast lounge, the marquee space, as well as all the fringe events and workshops that made Edinburgh Yarn Festival unique. Since getting back, I've really been quite exhausted. I think it's such an emotional show. And I just, yeah, when you get so many people together in a room anyway, there's bound to be germs flying around. And I also think when you push yourself and push yourself and then the event happens and then you relax a little bit, then your body becomes susceptible to picking up germs as well. So I think, like a few of the exhibitors, I've had fatigue, had the germs, the winter germs, and just sort of coming out the other side of that now. Each year, Joe and Mika curate a fabulous show. And I think each year when you think it can't get any better, it does, and this year was no exception. And from what I've seen from people's comments online, the general feeling seems to be that this was the best ever Edinburgh Yarn Festival so far. I'd love to give a massive thank you to Joe and Mika for including me as part of Edinburgh Yarn Festival 2018, and hugely congratulate them on creating a festival that brings so many of us together from around the world and from so many different aspects of knitting all under one roof. As organisers, Joe and Mika leave no stone unturned, and their communication to vendors and visitors is always detailed and timely. They had a really impressive social media schedule in the lead up to the festival, and I know it caught the attention of many of you. And it was interesting to chat to you at the show, just how many of you had found me through the Edin Yarn Fest social media. And I think Instagram in particular made its mark in spreading the word about vendors and their products and their podcasters. I have been incredibly fortunate to be an exhibitor at EYF for the past 3 years, and this was my fourth year. I was extremely excited to be in the main marketplace for the first time, which was a step up for me, as well as the show being 3 days for the first time. I've mentioned before how long vendors start to prepare for the show with stock levels, new products, launches, all the social media that goes around it. So we have this whole run up in being creative, designing, making things happen, getting all our resources together, maybe getting extra help in, stock taking, the social media, the packing up of the vehicles, then that journey to Edinburgh, then the setting up of the stand, the anticipation, the sort of nervous excitedness that builds up inside you. And then the doors open and the festival kicks off. And then it's just 3 full-on days of meeting new people, familiar faces, old faces, not old faces, old friends is what I meant to say. Talking about our products, catching up with people, learning from one another. I learned so much over the show. I made new connections. And, you know, where possible, we try to do a bit of shopping ourselves as well. It's really intense and heady in a fantastic way. And if you were a workshop attendee, then you had that 9 till 10 o'clock slot in the morning, which I think is a fantastic idea, where you were able to come to the marketplace and do your shopping so that you didn't kind of miss out while you were away at your workshop. And I do think that's a great idea and it seems to work really well. And I was chatting to one of the other vendors and I said, wouldn't it be lovely if as a vendor, we had a vendor shopping slot for an hour where there's no one else here and we can all run round and do our shopping. And they pointed out to me, well, if we're all shopping, who's actually looking after our stands? I just decided that's a minor point. Or we could actually do shifts. So maybe that'll take on. What do you think? For us, we travelled down from Skye on the day of setup, which I think saw us leave at something like 7 in the morning. And, you know, it's at this point you realise you can do no more. All the hours and hours and hours and days and weeks and months of prep are all now wrapped up, boxed up, sealed up in your vehicle, in this one vehicle. Although I have to say, we did have a slight worry the day before because I not only have more stock now, I have more display stands and units. And we really thought at one point we were going to have to bring 2 vehicles down. Fortunately, Garen, my master packer, managed to get it all into the one vehicle. And I have to thank him for doing all the driving because I can't remember that journey to Edinburgh. I really can't remember it. I think my head was spinning, double checking all my mental lists as to had I actually packed everything in the car, to my head thinking ahead to the unloading, the setting up, all that sort of part of the rest of the day. Yeah, it takes us 5 hours to get there. So it's, you know, it's a significant journey. This year, there was the marquee, which was taking up quite a large part of the car park space where we would normally all park up. So they had a new system for us for unloading all of our stock. And it was one that worked incredibly smoothly. And we had our own time slot to turn up within. So we arrived in Edinburgh a little bit early, a little bit ahead of time, and we decided to grab a drink and a bite to eat in one of the local cafes. And that was when I first saw some knitters. And, you know, I can feel it now, the excitement that started to well up inside me. And it was more than my excitement, because I was feeling the excitement coming off these knitters in the cafe. And I think quite a few of them had been at a workshop in the morning, because some of them were still wearing their name patch. And they all had lovely knitted jumpers and cardigans and shawls on. So I enjoyed that. It was a good little sort of boost before starting to unload and set up. We also saw remnants of Beast from the East in Edinburgh. So we went to one of the supermarkets, and down one of the end, there was just this enormous pile of black stuff. And it's only on second looking and I realised it's actually snow. just piled up, obviously, at the end of the car park and just smothered in pollution, really. It's one of those things that would have made a great black and white photo without technically having to make it a black and white photograph. And we saw a few of those piles, those remains of the Beast from the East in Edinburgh. Once our time slot became available for unloading, we made our way over to the Corn Exchange, and we had a lovely surprise when the car park supervisor remembered us from last year, which was a really lovely welcome. And after just a few minutes of waiting and gradually moving forward to the front of the queue, we got to the point of unloading all of our stuff and seeing our space for the first time. And it's a funny time this time, because you're unloading your stuff. You're trying to do it as quickly and as efficiently as possible so the next exhibitor can move in. But you're also starting to see other vendors that you know, or people that you don't know but you want to say hello to. So there's lots of hugs and kisses and highs and smiles. And some of us have got trolleys and armful of boxes, and we're sort of meeting and passing one another. And as I say, some of us know one another, others of us don't. And there's this sort of exchange, toing and froing going on, a busyness, an excitedness and a hurriedness, but all very efficient, and a lovely friendliness too. Then the next phase begins, and I find this part of the show quite strange, but really interesting, because no matter how much I prepare in my head and how much I prepare on paper, and I had three drawings as to how I wanted the stand to look, it always seems to take a long time to bring that to reality, to bring that to life. Seeing how these empty shell units transform over the hours in the afternoon and the evening, I find it fascinating. You see all the display racks and boxes and mannequins and all sorts of items that make up people's displays coming into the hall, and suddenly all these shells take on their own individuality. We were a 2x2 booth, and it took us nearly 5 hours to set up. And in that time, we literally grabbed a couple of cups of tea, passingly said hello to a few people, but most of the time was just transforming our shell space into the TJ Frog space. So you can imagine for some of the bigger spaces, although maybe they have more helpers and maybe they're more efficient than me, I don't know. But it takes time. And certainly when we left, there was still a lot of people working on their stands. We went straight to our hotel, which we'd not been to before. We didn't even check in. We literally walked straight across the road into a restaurant that was there, grabbed a bite to eat, back to the hotel, checked in, sleep. And that was it, crashed out, waiting for the next day, the first day of the marketplace. We were up early and we were back in the Corn Exchange at 7:30 in the morning. So that's when it opened to enable the exhibitors to get back in to finish stacking shelves, units, and really just to titivate their stands, ready for you, the visitors. Having not been in the main marketplace before, I didn't quite know what to expect on the first day, and also because for the first time, the first day was advanced ticket sales only. It was a steady start with the workshop attendees coming through the door first, getting the first viewing, and then, as I say, it just gradually built up, and throughout the whole 3 days it never felt uncomfortably packed. There was one or two bottlenecks, but I think that the marquee in the car park was a winner giving all that extra social space, and it seemed to be used a lot over the course of the show. So yeah, great addition this year. We were located at one end of aisle K, and I had the loveliest next door neighbours. I hope you got along to see them. It was Paula and Rob of Mole View Yarn from North Wales. And if you weren't at the show, then do take a look at their website and their Instagram feed. The products are beautiful. And I kept eyeing up the natural dyed yarns over the 3 days. And I got round to buying, can you believe it, right at the end of the show on day 3. Literally, as we were just packing up, winding up. I bought 5 skeins of their Welsh Mule Double Knit, which is a crossbreed of Blue Face Leicester Ram and a local Welsh Hill breed. I have got no idea what I'm going to do with them. I mean, I'd like to call it an impulsive buy, but it wasn't, because I'd been eyeing it up for 3 days. It was just a buy with no end in mind. But I know I'm going to make something special with them. I've even got a little idea of my own bubbling away in my head. So we'll see whether I can make anything of that. Paula also gave me one of her Gentle Hands Organic Lotion Bars, which is rosemary and lavender, and says on it that it's a moisture repair bar for busy creative hands and is handmade with wholesome organic butters and oils. And it finishes off by saying, and enjoy happy hands again, which I really loved. I certainly find when I do quite intensive bouts of making, my poor fingernails and fingers, my skin just end up so dry and flaky. So I'm hoping that this bar will do the trick for me. Opposite me at the end of aisle K was Aileen Clark Crafts. And Aileen and I first exhibited together at Edinburgh Yarn Festival in the pop-up market in 2015. In 2016, we were next door to each other in the Baron Cafe in the pop-up market there. And last year, Aileen was in the main marketplace and I had my stand next to where I was delivering the Dorset Button workshops for the Teapot Trust on the other side of the building. So it was really lovely to be opposite each other. Although on the first day, I think it was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon when I first looked up and managed to give her a wave across the aisle, because it just been that busy, and that was our first opportunity to say, oh, hello, we're still here. One of the things about Aileen and I is we both love colour and we both work with a lot of colour. And one of the things I had this year for the first time was some Dorset Button wallpaper, lime green, which was the pattern from one of my new Dorset Button fabric bags, which the green was the most popular. The idea for the wallpaper was an idea that came to me, I think, early last year, and it took a while to work out quite how to do it, make it happen. And I have to say, I was so happy with how it turned out. Brilliant. Way better than I could have ever imagined. And when we were setting it up, and that was the first thing we did, was just covered all of the shell panels. I was so glad that I'd made the effort to actually get all that printed up. I think there's going to be some more TJ Frog Dorset Button wallpaper to be seen at shows in the future. Already there are designs in the planning stage. I think with my lime green Dorset Button wallpaper and my lime green painted boxes and Aileen's rich teals and pinks and purples and greens and turquoises and yellows, we certainly made a colourful impact on our end corner. Talking of colour, one of the Scottish vendors who I spoke to and did a little soundbite with during the course of the festival was Lindsay, who works with a very specific colour. So let's have a listen to that soundbite with her.
I am now with Lindsay, otherwise known as the Border Tart.
Hello.
Hi, Lindsay. And I've come to her blue cocoon here in Edinburgh. And yes, blue. So we have Blue Moon Indigo.
The Border Tart's been going a while. And then when I decided, following a lovely trip to India, that I really wanted to focus on indigo dyeing, I decided that my whole yarns and fibres element needed a name, so I was delighted to call it Blue Moon Indigo. And since I've been doing that, I've really moved, started with some yarns, and I'm enjoying dyeing fibres and blanket bits and all sorts of things as well. And now I've gradually moved into dyeing threads for stitchers too, which is good fun.
Oh, I didn't know that, because I bought one of those little workman's... Is it workman's?
Oh, yes, I am... What did I call it? Woolworker's friend.
Woolworker's friend, yes. That was with the indigo dyed fabric, wasn't it? And
yes.
And then the scissors and needles inside. I got that last year, yes.
That was limited edition, because I enjoy making things, but I also think it's important not to... Both for me and for whoever's bought them, that actually they are limited edition.
Yes.
And for my own interests... You know, yes. I've got to keep my, I don't want to make them forever.
You don't want to keep churning out the same thing.
So I just keep moving on and creating new things, because that's part of the fun.
Yes.
And that, as I say, increasingly is going back to stitch as well, because that's a long-held love as well.
Yeah, good. And in terms of the stitch, I recently saw on Instagram that you're starting to run some stitching retreats. And it's got a lovely name, hasn't it?
Finding Time.
Yeah.
Now, Sarah came up with that. I'm doing these in conjunction with Sarah Hazel, who's better known at the moment, again, as crochet and knitwear designer. And we share a love of stitch too. And everybody loves a knitting retreat.
Yes.
Of course they do, or crochet or whatever. But we wanted people to be able to escape from their everyday life.
Yes.
Just for a few days and just relax and stitch. And be as sociable or as quiet as they like, and just enjoy the contemplative elements of quietly stitching.
Brilliant. Well, I wish you every success with them. I'm sure they'll be successful, and I'll put a link on my show notes to your retreat.
To Finding Time.
Thank you. And if ever you see Lindsay at a festival, you will always recognise her, because I remember meeting Lindsay at the very first Edinburgh Yarn Festival I did in 2015. And true to her blue indigo, she can always be found wearing blue, can't you?
Yes, very happily. It's my default setting. I don't fight it.
No, it's lovely. It's really lovely. So,
thank you very much.
Yeah. Anyway, had a good show.
Thank you. I've had a very good show.
Brilliant.
I think this has been interesting for all of us to move to a three-day show here in Edinburgh, and with so many additional attractions for the visitors, that really has extended it for them and made it a real, an absolute yarny treat in so many ways.
Yeah, it's brilliant. Thank well, thank you very much, Lindsay.
Thank you.
As I mentioned, I first met Lindsay at EYF 2015, and I now make Dorset button kits for Lindsay with her own hand-dyed indigo yarn. And I've used her indigo yarn in my own Dorset buttons as well. So it was great to have a couple of minutes chat to her at the end of the show. And I think her retreats, which she's doing along with Sarah Hazel, who's also a great workshop tutor as well. I've been to some of Sarah's workshops before. I think between the two of them, they are going to create a wonderful, calming, relaxing experience at their workshops. So let us know if you go on one and how you get on. I had a great response to my single Dorset Breed New Wools. They attracted a lot of attention and interest, especially because Louise of Knit British is doing wool exploration on Dorset Breeds in the summer. And thank you to all of you who came along to buy some so that you could take part in that. And I'm really looking forward to hearing the reviews on these wools that are not seen that often. Lots of compliments on my colour palette too, thank you. They stood out well against the wallpaper I mentioned. On my last episode, I said how both the Dorset Down and Dorset Horn are on the Rare Breed Survival Trust watch list, which indicates the rarity of UK native breeds of mammals, but it's based on the number of registered breeding females that there are in the UK. My Dorset down came from the same farm in Dorset where the fleeces for my pole Dorset come from. And Ruth and David are pedigree Dorset down sheep breeders. They take great pride in their flock and they've won a number of prizes for them. The wool was spun with four plies and it's come up to an Aran weight and it's got a lovely bounce to it. As I've said, it's a native breed. It's been around for over 200 years, formed as a result of crossing native ewes from Berkshire, Hampshire and Wiltshire and South Down with South Down rams. And according to the Dorset Down Sheep Breeders Association, the short, fine texture of the wool makes it highly valued and sought after for the hosiery and fine tweed trade. So I have booked to have some of the 2018 clip too, and it would be lovely to extend this range. The Dorset horn came from a farm in Cornwall where they used to have over 100 breeding ewes, although with retirement they've now reduced to 20. The Dorset horn is unique in that it can breed all year round, so they often lamb three times in 2 years. The Dorset horn was the sheep of the day during part of the Dorset Button cottage industry, which is why I was particularly keen to get my hands on some of these fleeces, which are quite hard to come by, and to get some wool made. It's been spun with three plies and it's come out to a light DK weight. And it was from these Dorset horn sheep that the hornless version were bred through crossbreeding after they'd gone over to Australia, and that is hence the pole Dorset. Again, a lot of interest in both of these yarns. They're quite a little bit different. Both fleeces are also supposed to be excellent for spinning, and they are a really rich, creamy colour, which certainly takes the dye very well, which was evident with how well the colours had come out. My pole Dorset and Hebridean mixed wool also went down extremely well, and there is more due to arrive very soon with me from the 2017 clip. On the Dorset Button front, the earrings flew off the shelves, as did the stitch and progress markers, and I had made a lot of these. And I was glad I did, because it meant that the shelves were always full, and it meant that it didn't matter whether you came on Saturday or Thursday, you had the same range, you had the same choice of colours. Many of you also wanted to have a button made by me to add to your own projects, as well as having kits to learn how to make your own buttons. So that was really lovely. And I've introduced a couple of hashtags into my kits, and I'd love it if you could start using these to just help spread the word of Dorset buttons. So they are hashtag make Dorset buttons and hashtag wear Dorset buttons. And yeah, let's try and start a little campaign to get people making and wearing Dorset buttons on their handmade projects. Anyway, drum roll, shopping. Isn't that what it's all about? Well, one of the things that it's all about. How did your shopping go? I hope you were more organised than me. Did you impulse buy, or did you have a list? And if you had a list, did you stick to it? Or was there a couple of little extra things that snuck in? I certainly know that one or two of you came to my stand and saw something which wasn't on your list, and you went away and you came back and you went away and you came back and you went away and you came back and bought, which is lovely. I know that dilemma though, when you have a list, you know how much money you want to spend, and then you get attracted by other things. And it's hard, you know, it is hard to make these decisions. So thank you if you did have that little extra sneaky purchase from my stand. I didn't plan my shopping this year. I just didn't get round to it. I'd got as far as printing off the map and writing down what stand was where and circling which ones I wanted to go to and then starring the kind of top priority ones. And that was it. So I had good intention to say time got the better of me and I didn't actually get down to working out specifics of what I'd like. It meant that my purchases were unplanned, slightly impulsive. And yes, I bought wool without knowing what I'm going to make with it, just as I mentioned earlier with Mulview yarns. What I did, though, is I bought wool either from people who had caught my attention on the Instagram social media feed before the show, things that were new to me or that offered something a bit different to me. So that's really where my shopping did happen. So there was something in the back of my mind. I treated myself to a couple of the knitting smocks from the Slow Wardrobe. Have you seen those? I have seen them before, so I was aware of them. For me, certainly working, they're just the perfect garment. You can wear them with a couple of inches of positive ease. They easily sit over a t-shirt or a long sleeve top, leggings, jeans, and you can add a shawl, you know, sort of tart them up, add different colours. They were in linen and wool, different shapes, different colours, and I went for one that has points down the side rather than front and back because it just suited my shape better. And I got a linen one in a French navy colour and a tweed one in a very sort of dark green. The best thing about them, though, they have these amazing big pockets, which are very, very useful as a maker. There were a couple of things that I saw on the first day at the show and then realised at the end of the 3 days that I'd forgotten to go back and buy them. That's the beauty of the show, though. Yes, it's a shame that I didn't get to go back and buy them, but I saw them, I touched them, I know what they're like now, they're things I hadn't seen before, so I'd feel really confident in purchasing online, which of course I can do. So apart from a couple of gifts and the yarn I've already mentioned, my only other purchase during the 3 days was from the Border Mill, which was some alpaca tweed in a colourway called Peacock, which is gorgeous. It's got really beautiful turquoisey, pinky purple, lime green, almost a sort of yellowy, greeny colour that run all the way through. It's really vibrant and it's so soft, as you would imagine with alpaca. Any ideas what I'm going to do with it? Because I don't know. Another one just to look at and cherish for the time being. All of my other purchases took place on the Sunday at the Meet the Shepherd Shepherdess event, and I'll come back to that later. Talking of shopping, did any of you buy one of Woolly Originals knitted bags? They were getting a huge amount of attention online prior to the show, and I know there were not many left at the end of the show. I got the chance to have a quick chat with Sarah about her bags at the end. Have a listen to this little soundbite where Sarah tells us about her bags. This is the soundbite that has the most background noise to it, so apologies for that. I don't know whether it's because we were sort of in the corner, but it's only a few minutes and hopefully you can hear okay what we're saying. I'm now with Sarah of Woolly Originals, and I've mentioned Sarah before in my podcast after I bought one of her project bags back at Yarndale, and it's such a beautiful, beautiful bag. I think I mentioned that I actually wanted to use it as an evening bag at a special party. So I'm going to hand over to Sarah now to tell us about her bags and how she makes them, what they're made of, and how she comes up with her designs.
Thank you. Well, the bags are completely handmade. We use a vintage knitting machine to knit up the outer fabric. We generally use Jameson's of Shetland spindrift wool.
Beautiful.
Occasionally I use, for some of the designs, I use their weaving wool.
Oh, okay.
So I can get a smaller stitch definition.
Right.
And then we use our lining fabrics come from Scottish Linen in Kirkcaldy in Fife.
Yes.
I make an appointment, I go up to the sample room and I view the fabrics in person so I can get the correct colours to coordinate with the outer fabric.
Yes.
Because I like all my fabrics to match. Or sometimes I like people to be able to open the zip of a bag and have a wee surprise.
Yes, yes.
Something that's a bit different.
Yes, because I think the one I bought, you'd actually dyed the fabric.
That's right.
Yes.
Sometimes I might go up to the linen mill and they might not be quite the right colour, so I'll dye some fabric. I'll buy white linen and just dye it. So because I'm a hand knitter myself, I have a sort of a standard size of bag. So I have a small one, which is like a tool case. Then the next size up, we'll do a sock project. Then we go to Sean and then a jumper. So the whole sizing of my bags is dictated by my sort of enthusiasm as a knitter.
Yes, yeah.
So, and also all the designs, there's always a story behind the designs, and I have a number of designs. For instance, my Scots Pine design was inspired by all the holidays we'd had with my young children, well, they're much older now, throughout the years, where we used to go to Glenafric in the Highlands.
Yes, yes.
There's an ancient Caledonian pine forest there.
Yeah, I know where you are.
So all the pine trees there inspired me for that one. And then other, like my Heritage Orchard, my latest design, was inspired by my friend Fu, who planted 1,000 organic trees on her farm for her veggie box scheme.
Right.
And sometimes the design will then lead to what colours I choose.
Okay.
So with the Heritage Orchard, because she sells apples and pears and plums in her veggie boxes, the colours I use are red, green and yellow.
Oh.
So, you know, there's method to my madness.
There's thought in there.
Yes.
I always love your Instagram pictures as well.
Oh, thank
because you put like the cones that you, the
yes.
of the colours that you've
yes.
used with the
bag. I think that's nice for people to see
yes.
because I often think, well, you know, you might get a bag and you might want to then knit something
yes.
to go with it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, obviously I use the Spindrift and I buy kilo cones that are oiled
yes.
for a knitting machine.
Yes.
But you can obviously buy the 25 gram balls and
yes.
hand knit, which I
yes.
do obviously. So I think it's always nice that either you might see that and say, I want a bag in that colour, or it might even inspire you just to go knit something in that colour.
Yes.
Because
yeah.
I do like to support Jamesons, because Jamesons and Shetland, because I think, you know, they're a family run business, they're in quite a remote location, and their product is fabulous.
Yeah. Oh, their range of colours.
Oh, their colours,
super.
The heather dyeing techniques that they
yes.
use. You know, some of their wools might have 29 colours in them.
Yes.
So,
yeah.
it, you know, they're fabulous.
Yeah, they are. And I'm sat here now looking at your stand.
Yeah. Slightly depleted.
You seem to have done very well.
Oh, yes, it was fabulous. We met so many nice people. There have been so many people from abroad who've come this year. I would say more than years before.
Yes, it's felt like that.
Yes, and there's been so many. A lot of the American knitting designers have been.
Yes.
And it's been so lovely because they've all wanted to buy one of my
pants. Oh, that's lovely.
So it's been quite funny
yes.
that they've sort of rushed up to the stand.
Oh, brilliant.
Like, we want one of your bags. And they're like, oh, my goodness. Okay, wonderful. Play it cool. Play it cool.
Oh.
Yeah, so that's been very nice.
Yes.
And there's been so much gorgeous knitwear.
I know.
Show.
I've really had knitwear envy.
It's been fantastic. I've been taking pictures and tagging people because I think that's part of it as well. Just, you know, people coming and matching knitwear.
Yes.
There was a group of 7 Spanish ladies from Asturias and they had all knitted jump the same pattern but different colours.
I saw them
and they
yes.
were superb.
Yes.
I think the lady who'd organised it was a yarn shop owner.
Right.
And
I
they
were
fantastic.
Yes.
And I think that's the sort of customer that comes, you know, love knitting. You know, and love travelling and love an adventure.
Yes.
It's
yeah.
been great.
Yeah, it has, hasn't it? Oh, so what's your next show coming up?
We'll do an online update. We need to do that. And then we're going to actually go to do the Aberdeen.
Oh, right. I'm going to be there too.
Oh, fantastic.
So, see you there.
So we're going to go there. We'll do that for the one day. And then I think after that, the next one actually isn't until July, where we're going to do the Indieborough Craft Crawl.
Right.
Yes.
That's in Edinburgh, isn't
it? In Edinburgh.
It? Yes.
And then we're taking a wee break over the summer.
Right.
I'd actually like to go to the festival this year in Edinburgh.
Ah, well.
Because last year it was like we had Perth, we had Yondale, and it was all too much.
Yes.
And my back needs a wee bit of a break from all the machine knitting. And so we haven't got any shows then until the end of the year. So
right.
we'll just do e-shop updates
yes.
and orders, wholesale orders, things like that.
Brilliant. Well, I'll put a link to your site in the show notes.
Thank you.
So thank you very much
oh,
for
you're
taking
so
time
welcome.
Out.
It was lovely.
Thank you.
You may have seen online before the show a stunning bag that Sarah had made, one of her larger bags, and it was made using all Iona wool. And it was inspired by a painting called Iona Sound and Ben Moore by a Scottish painter, FCB Cadell. It drew a lot of social media interest, with many people queuing up to purchase it. And I wondered quite how Sarah was going to manage the sale of it at Edinburgh. However, this was not needed as it was purchased by Iona Wool. And in essence, it's going home. It's a lovely befitting journey, I think, an ending for this gorgeous bag. And you may have seen that Iona Wool posted a picture of it the other day out on some of the landscape, which was amazing. So you can read more about the inspiration behind the design and how Sarah interpreted details of the painting into her own machine knitted design on her website. So have a look at that if you're interested. And on her stand at Edinburgh, she had a board which shows what goes into making a bag and the different stages. And I'll put a photo of that in my show notes. Sarah and I mentioned knitwear envy there. Oh my. Oh yeah. Yoked jumpers were aplenty. Not something I've ever knitted. I'm feeling a bit left out actually. Although I am inspired to crack on and make one now. The lovely Eloise, or Neurotic Pandora off Instagram as she's known, had the most amazing yoke jumper on. And when I was chatting to her in the podcast lounge, she'd actually got a shawl around it to start off with. And then a bit later on, she'd taken it off. And I noticed that all the way around on her yoke jumper were rabbits. And if you follow her Instagram feed, then you'll know about the rabbits. So gorgeous. Though, as I say, were just so many different designs and colours of yoked jumpers and cardigans. And shawls, wraps, cows, and even hand-knitted name badges. Yes, Catherine, that's you, or her online name, African Daffodil. Catherine had the best ever name badge I've seen. Let's get rid of sticky, what do you call them? You know, sticky labels, that's the word, sticky labels. Catherine had a reversible hand-knitted name badge. Oh, it was amazing. So on one side, she had her name Catherine and also African Daffodil, her online social media name, so that when she's in company with people who would know her by both names, they can see them, such as like Ravelry or Instagram people. And then on the other side was just Catherine, which she said are for times when, for example, like at her spinning guild meetings, where that is what people know her by. Oh yeah, it really was just beautiful. It wasn't just the idea, it was beautifully knitted, wonderful colours. And having just looked up Catherine online while preparing for this episode, I am so happy she's decided to put this up on Ravelry as a free pattern. Oh, yeah, so cool. So no excuses. We can all have wonderful hand-knitted name badges now. And it'll be so much easier when we're at events, when sometimes we recognise people, but we don't automatically remember their name, or we know their Instagram name, but we don't know their first name, or vice versa. So yeah, all the details are there, staring us in the face through the hand-knitted reversible badge. Love it. You will see there's lots of images up online now on the EYF website. So you will be able to see lots of the amazing knitwear on there if you didn't come along to the festival, or if you did, you can just revel in it all again, and you may even spot yourself. Photos, talking of photos, images. Now, there were a few taken of me, and I can't remember quite who asked me for the first selfie. I think it was Selma of Selma's Knits podcast, and I remember saying at the time, oh, you're honoured, I don't normally do selfies. Anyway, first of all, did you meet Selma? Selma is just delightful. Hello, Selma, if you're listening in. She's so beautiful, and what a lovely person as well. She was such great company. We chatted quite a bit over the weekend and also got to meet her lovely husband too at the Cayley. So yes, I think it was Selma asked me for this selfie. And for some reason in this era, I think it's the whole digital sharing and the lack of control that you have over photos of yourself and where they go, how far they spread out, whose hands they end up in. It's probably just because I'm old and remember the good old days when you took your film along to the supermarket and you waited for your 12 photographs to come back and only two of them turned out okay and the rest got ripped up and went in the bin. And now there's just so many photos taken of us and we don't have that control over, oh yeah, they're the really rubbish ones, please don't put that one up. Okay, yeah, I'm happy with that one. So I've actually had not only knitwear envy, I've actually had photo envy because I've realised that everyone was taking pictures, selfies, pictures of themselves with other people. And I just got to get over myself and get into the spirit of doing that. And I tried to do it a bit more on the Sunday when I realised that I just hadn't got any photos of people, which seems such a shame because I've seen so many online photos of everybody in groups and together at the show. I kind of felt I'd missed out a bit on doing that. I think one of the problems was that my phone is literally dying on me and it no longer takes photographs. I was having to borrow Garrett's phone if I wanted to take photos and it was a bit of a pain. You know, I did have my camera with me, but it's a bit cumbersome. So it's not the easiest thing to be carrying around at a show when you're not really there to be taking photographs. So I had it in my handbag on the Sunday and I did get it out and take a few. So apart from the ones where we took some at setup, I didn't really get any pictures of people. So that's definitely a note to self. Next time at a yarn festival, I'm going to take pictures, selfies even, of me with people. So who did I meet? Again, another failure on my part here. I used to always have a cash box with my beloved A5 business notebook at the side and I would write people's names in it, snippets of conversation, so that, you know, I could give people a shout out and also just a little reminder to myself of who I'd met at shows. And for the first time, we moved over to having money belts, which are far more practical at a show, really. So, of course, I didn't have my beloved A5 business notebook. I have lots of tiny little notebooks, lots of really wee ones that are cute, that would have fitted perfectly into the pocket of my money belt. Did I have one with me? No. So instead I found myself writing on receipts and business cards, scraps of paper, paper bags. Oh, that was not good at all. And I just didn't capture the full essence of people information that I would have loved to have done. So apologies there that I didn't do that. All I will do is say a huge thank you to each and every one of you who made it to my stand, either intentionally or by accident, and for all of those of you who stopped by to have a chat. I loved it. And to those of you who came up to speak to me in the podcast lounge too, wherever I met you during the whole course of that show, it was great to meet you and chat to you. On Thursday, one person whose name I did get down and have not forgotten was Liz. Liz was wearing the most amazing grey jacket in a handspun. And she had added to it these really big, beautiful, colourful Dorset buttons. And each button was different. And they each picked out flecks in the handspun grey yarn. It was just as I love to see Dorset buttons being used functionally, but adding colour, adding a difference to this handspun, even though that was beautiful in itself, but just that final finishing touch to a handmade garment. So thank you to Liz for letting me take the photograph of her, which is in my show notes. For some people whose names that I have got or that I know just through over time, I am going to apologise now for my pronunciation. I was never ever good at speaking languages at school and I really struggle to pronounce people's names correctly. So apologies up front now, but hopefully you will know who you are. So my first hello is to Yael, whose business is Handmade by Yael. I hope that's close enough. I'm going to put a link to her website in the show notes. She's a crocheter and was wearing a beautiful crochet fitted cardigan. Looked really fab. And we met through Instagram, as you do. And it was lovely, really lovely to meet her for real. So, yeah, that's what I love when people become real, when you step out of my phone and my computer. Talking of crochet, Faye Dashba Hughes. This lady's just awesome. And I know I've spoken about her a lot before. I'm just loving everything she's doing for the crochet community at the moment and beyond too. Some of you may well have been part of her crochet gathering over the duration of Edinburgh Yarn Festival, which I understand went very well. Faye kindly donated to me the crisscross shawl she designed and made with my Shawlines and Strata limestone wool last year. I was incredibly touched by this and I love it so much. I've been wearing it loads since the show. In fact, there's not that many days when I haven't worn it, even when I haven't really needed a shawl. It's just so cosy and yeah, very, very happy to have received that as a gift. Faye also came armed once again with some food goodies for us to keep us going. And this time she had some different flavoured shortbreads. I think there was lavender, Earl Grey, plain shortbread. And it didn't last long. It was a much needed sugar boost. Only lasted the day. And then Faye gave me a present. I know, spoilt. Very, very spoilt. Faye gave me a book called, wait for it, Gin Glorious Gin. Yes, gin. The book is by Olivia Williams. I haven't seen this book before. I'd not heard of it. It's basically about the cultural history of London, told through the story of gin and how gin has come in and out of fashion over the years as well. I've only got through the first few pages at the moment. But I have a friend who has read the book and says it's fascinating, full of lots of interesting stories and facts. And the inside front and back covers are lime green. Had to be really, didn't they? I mean, who doesn't love a bit of lime with their gin? Thanks, Faye. You're a star. And talking of gin, I must say hello to Suzanne. Hi, Suzanne, who I introduced to Misty Isle Gin, our very own Isle of Skye gin. And on the note of this particular gin, if you've not listened to me before, I do mention gin every now and again. If you've been with me from the beginning of my podcast adventure, then I mentioned Misty Isle gin from the Isle of Skye in my very first episode because it literally launched the same month that I launched my podcast. And I'm very happy to hear and report to you that they've just won a gold award in the London Spirits competition. So worth a try if you like gin. Anyway, I digress. Edinburgh Yarn Festival. What about Shetland Wool Week, hey? I know there's a lot of love for this and for Shetland wool. And Shetland certainly holds a special place in my heart. I spoke to Elizabeth Johnston during setup, not knowing at that point that she was to be announced as this year's patron. So I was delighted to hear that news because I've also previously done a workshop with Elizabeth and I also own some of her hand spun. Did you manage to get a copy of the hat pattern for this year that Elizabeth has designed? If you didn't or you weren't at the festival, then you can download it for free off the Shetland Wool Week website. Designed by Elizabeth, as I mentioned, it's based on the Merry Dancers, which is the Shetland dialect for the Northern Lights. And last time I went to Shetland Wool Week, which was in 2016, I was staying outside of Lerwick, so we didn't have the sort of lights of the town. It was all very dark where we were. And we saw the Northern Lights on three separate nights. Yeah. How lucky were we? Very, very lucky. I'm definitely going to make this hat for myself and I'm going to sash dive to see if I've got anything suitable. The lovely Hazel Tyndall also came to the show as a visitor and I enjoyed catching up with her. Hazel was patron of Wool Week back in 2014 and her and Elizabeth brought out a DVD last year, which is called 50 Tips from Shetland Knitters. And I keep meaning to buy this. I meant to buy it at Loch Ness and I meant to buy it at Edinburgh. But with my lack of shopping list, I forgot again. So I'm going to add this one to my birthday and Christmas wish list. Said hello to Carol Meldrum, the lovely Carol, who was on Jane Crowfoot's stand at the time. It was great to see Jane again, having been with her in India on the Knit for Peace trip earlier in the year, although she was still suffering with a poorly voice from our trip. So, Jane, I hope you do get better soon. Dame Hilary from Knit for Peace and Avril and Marie, they were also at the festival along with some group of knitters. And hello to Geraldine, Jenny and Lorraine, who I also met in India and had come along to the show too. I also got to quickly say hello, very quick catch up with Jo of Shiny Bees and Lindsay of Countess Ablaze. You may know that Jo has recently started her podcast again, and it kicked off with an interview with the Countess, so an interesting one to go and listen to. I'd like to say hello to Beth. Hi Beth, how you doing? Beth was wearing a beautiful dye gilpin hand-knitted design. I think it was the arabesque gilet. Not sure quite how you say that. So hi to Beth. And I'd also like to say hello to the lovely lady I spoke to from Ohio who came to speak to me about the podcast, and I'm sorry I didn't get your name. There were two prolific knitters I caught up with. Firstly, Mel, who you may know as Mel, who works with Kate Davies. Mel is an incredible knitter. Her work is just beautiful, and I enjoy following her projects online. And Maylin, or Blythe Spirit, as some of you may know her from her online name. Maylin always seems to pick such lovely projects to knit, and they are whipped up in no time at all. So I knit vicariously through her. Yeah, if ever I'm feeling a little bit down, I just have a look at her knitting and get boosted. And imagine that's me finishing my projects. Carrie Westerman turned up to say hello at my stand. It was as if it was on demand, as a couple of ladies had been asking me about the designer of the Byatt shawl I had hanging up, showcasing one of my Dorset button brooches. So that was quite funny. The lovely Katie Green. Do any of you know Katie Green? Katie's done illustrations in the Pom Pom magazine over time, and she now works at Blacker Yarns. Hi, Katie. Lovely to see you again. And Katie told me she had just released her first video podcast episode, and it's called The Green Bean. I believe that episode 2 is already out. And I'm sorry to say, I haven't watched it yet. I switched it on one day and I caught the first couple of minutes, but I haven't had time to watch through, but I will do. I love Katie's work, both her illustrations and her knitwear, and I love following her walks on Dartmoor with her dog Jack on Instagram. So I'm interested to see her podcast, and I'm sure they're going to be really interesting. The podcast lounge was elevated another level this year. There was more space for all the comfy sofas, and wow, it had a huge buzz to it. I mean, I walked from, you know, the far end of the marketplace through to the concourse area and then into the Baron room, where this noise level just hit me. There was such an energetic vibe to it. So many people meeting up, listeners and podcasters meeting one another for the first time, podcasters and podcasters catching up and also meeting for the first time. I got along to the Thursday and the Friday meetup, but unfortunately didn't make the Saturday one. I know many of you came to my stand though, and thank you. I couldn't believe how many of you listened to me in the first instance, but also how far and wide across the world you listened to me. I did not realise that TJ Frog got to so many different corners of the earth, and yeah, I wish I'd made a note of everybody and made up my own little TJ Frog listeners map. I was really, yeah, totally shocked by the sheer numbers and the, as I say, the stretch. It took me aback, so thank you. I was quite touched and humbled by that. I got to meet with a few podcasters too, as well as all you lovely listeners. So I got to catch up with the lovely Louises of Knit British and Caithness Craft Collective and Alison of Yarn in the City. And I also met some new podcasters for the first time. First of all, thank you to Sia and Pip of Tipsy Knits, fellow audio podcasters, who actually came over to my stand to see me, which is great. And Meg of Mrs. Curiosity Cabinet Podcast and Helen Stewart of Curious Handmade. I also met Marie of Ninja Chicken, who'd come from the Appalachian Mountains, and Kate of Hawthorne Cottage Garden from Northern Ireland. Hello to you. And I had another visitor to my stand whose voice I recognised, face I recognised, but could I put a name to them? Then I saw she was wearing a lanyard, and it was only Tracy from the Grocery Girls. Yes, yes. How could I not recognise her? So, you know, sometimes we don't always recognise each and every one of us. So it's great when we have got our name badges on. Remember those knitted name badges from Catherine? Brilliant. I think the podcast aspect of the show really felt like it stepped up another gear this year. And thank you to everyone for all the pin badges I received. They were so popular and I just wasn't prepared for this. So thank you. Talking of podcasts, in my last episode, I interviewed Helen of Ripples Crafts, another exhibitor at the show. And if you want to hear more about her life as a hand dyer living remotely in the Scottish Highlands, then have a listen to episode 12, where we recorded in the final weeks leading up to the festival. And I managed to catch up very briefly with Helen at the end of day 3. So I'll leave you with this soundbite.
Helen, it doesn't seem that long ago since we were sat in your dye shed doing that interview.
Just a few weeks ago.
And here we are, nigh on at the end of day 3 of the festival.
It's been amazing. Absolutely amazing.
Yeah, it's been a great crowd in every day, hasn't it?
Yeah. And friendly crowd.
Yes.
Yeah. Really nice.
And you've had this position by the door here with two walls this year.
Yes, two walls. And what was really good is that when folk came through the door, they were faced with a wall of lovely colours and bright shades. So hopefully that cheered them up as they came in from the cold outside.
Yes, yeah, there's been a few snow flurries.
So, it's been thoroughly enjoyable. And Joe and Mika, the organisers, have been excellent. And I think everybody's enjoyed it.
Yes. Well, I can see that quite a few of your little boxes have just got maybe 2 or 3 skates left in.
Yes. The best seller has been the Cunhyag, which is the Blue-Faced Leicester.
Right.
Which, of course, is a British breed.
Yes.
So that really has probably been my best seller this week. And, of course, sock yarn. Everybody wants socks. So the reliable sock yarn has done very well as well.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
And have you noticed if there's a particular colour trend?
The Dark Sea Storm, my lovely dark blue turquoise, that just flew off. I could have bought double the amount and I still wouldn't be going home with any. So, yes, so that's done very well. And the greens have done quite well.
Okay.
Yes, which you'll like to hear.
Yes.
But, yes, the greens and the dark blues have done very well this year.
Yes. Yeah. So, going home, are you going to get a chance to have a little bit of a rest before getting ready for your next show?
We have a short intermission before I get ready for, I think Aberdeen is the next one that I do.
Yes.
In May.
Yeah.
And then quite soon, hot on the heels of Aberdeen, is Woolin. So I'll be busy. I'll give myself about a week's break and then get back into it.
Yeah.
Busy again.
Well, thank you, Helen. It's
lovely
to catch up with you.
To see you again, Tanya.
Thanks.
Bye.
You may have seen Helen had a sign on her stand celebrating 10 years of Ripples Crafts, and in recognition of this, Helen has just released her own yarn that she's had commissioned. It's called Cochrane. It's a Blue-Faced Leicester and Saxon Merino stroke Shetland cross, and it's spun to a 4-ply weight and all beautifully hand-dyed by Helen, as you would expect. So I think this is going to be a great success. Take a look on her website if you want to have a peek at what she's got. What else happened then? I met a few of you who'd previously done Dorset Button workshops with me, both at Edinburgh and at different venues. One being Amanda, who came along to one of the Teapot Trust workshops I had done in previous years. And she came to tell me about some very special Dorset buttons she'd made for a special blanket that she'd made as a wedding gift for a close friend. And it's exactly those stories that really make everything I do feel so worthwhile, that people come along, they learn a new skill and they take it forward. This particular project is really quite a special one. There was also Nora there from Washington, D.C., who came to my stand last year and bought some of my products. Then we met at Fancy Tiger Crafts in Denver back in July, where I was delivering a workshop, and she's now making her own Dorset buttons too. So another success story of somebody who's learnt the technique and taken it off and running with it. I got to meet Vitard, a knitting tutor from Denmark, who some of you may well have taken his workshops during the course of the event. I spoke to him the day before and on the day just before he was going off to teach knitting and mindfulness. And I had a really thoughtful chat with him about this, about how knitting can really help us to be in the moment, in that moment. And all we're doing is feeling those needles in our hand, only focused on that stitch we're working on and how that can help us in times of trouble. And yeah, I'm sure if you attended it, it was a fascinating workshop. And it's certainly a subject that I would love to explore more. And I know there's lots of work now around the health benefits of knitting. It's lovely to see Susan Crawford. Thank you, Susan, for stopping by. I supported her Kickstarter project for the Shetland Vintage book, which arrived with me the day before I was due to leave for Edinburgh. And I can honestly say I opened it for all of 5 seconds, because I knew if I took any longer over it, I'd be totally lost in it. And I would get distracted from my final preps that I needed to do. And since I've been home, I've had one more little look at it like that, because I've just had so much going on since I got back. And you're probably asking, how could I just leave it sat there without looking? But I want to do the book justice. I want to have a whole day where I can sit down with lots of tea and preferably some yummy cake, and I can just get lost in the book and know that there's nothing else that needs my urgent attention, and that I can plan my projects and read the essays and, as I say, just do the book justice. Hello to the lovely Louise of Caithness Craft Collective, who I saw quite a few times over the 3 days and on the Sunday as well. And Louise even managed to grab a photo of me and Catherine Lima. So if you listen to Louise, you will know the significance of this, as she's always talking about us smiling, saying hello to us on her podcast. So Louise has a knitting retreat in Caithness at the end of May, and many of the retreaters were at the show. Ella, or Gift Not Girl. Now, Ella, having had Faye's shortbread on day one, which went down very easily and very quickly, and which we were very grateful for, Ella also bought us shortbread on one of the other days, and it literally got opened as soon as she walked around the corner. Oh, it just seemed that we were delivered shortbread at the right moments when we needed a sugar injection. So thank you very much. Did any of you get to any of the Fringe events? One of the benefits we had from the unloading system this year is we got to have a sneak peek through the windows of the marquee as our car moved by it. And then as we had to walk to and from our vehicle afterwards, we gradually saw it go from this empty space to this dedicated knitters, relaxing, eating, catching up area. At the end of the first day in the marketplace, we saw the knit night starting to take shape. Oh, it looked like it was a fab event. And I know lots of you who went said how much you enjoyed it. We went straight back to our hotel that night, straight across the road again, same restaurant, back to the hotel, sleep. I don't think I could have made the knit night on the first day, because the first day is always that unknown about, have you got enough stock? Have you got the right stock? Have you set everything up right? What do you need to sort out for the next day? So I was glad that I didn't go, although there was a little bit of missing out felt, having seen and heard what a great event it was. We did go to the Cayley though, and we had a lovely time. We had a super table. We were sat with Selma, who I mentioned before, and her husband. I'm sorry I didn't get anybody else's name. I know we were sat with a lady from Leicester, a lady from near Nottingham, and a family from the States who incidentally were coming to Skye afterwards on a trip. I like this time. It's nice to actually sit down with visitors and hear about their experience away from the main marketplace. And although we didn't quite make it till the end of the evening, we enjoyed our time there very much. So that was on the Friday night. Then it was the final day. I mean, the 3 days just flew by. They are busy, busy, busy days, full-on days. And suddenly it was nearly all over. And there was one other Scottish vendor who I'd spoken to beforehand and asked if I could get a soundbite with her. And literally 2 minutes, we were on countdown. The doors were closed. The security guys were starting to wander around, graciously moving people on. I grabbed the adorable Leona Jane, or LJ. Have a listen in. It's very, very nearly the end of the show, the final end of the show. And I've just managed to grab LJ, the owner of Fluff in Dundee and the creative artist.
Sorry, I'm laughing.
The creative director and artist of Rusty Ferret Yarn.
Yeah, God, that's a scary title. Oh, my God.
Well, I'm going to pick you up because I love your colours.
Oh,
they're
thanks,
bold.
Joy. I called you Joy again.
She's called me Joy. I will explain this separately to the interview. There's a whole story behind this, which I'm sure she won't mind me sharing.
It must only happen when I'm tired. Must only. Oh, my God. Tanya. Thank you, Tanya.
So bright and bold. Bright and bold.
Yes.
What inspires bright, bold colours for you then?
Oh, just...
You said about it makes you happy.
It makes me happy. And I just like bright.
Yeah. What's your favourite colour then?
Of my colours?
Yes.
My favourite one at the minute is one of the new ones, and it's called Dark Sun.
Okay.
But it's actually pink. I don't know if anybody's a Nintendo lover, but it looks a bit like Kirby.
You've lost me completely.
I'm sorry. He's a little pink ball who just has a really big mouth and sucks things in. And
okay.
He's quite vicious, actually.
Right.
And in Scotland, Kirby means church.
Right.
But it also means dark sun as well.
Ah.
So I was like, oh, that's perfect. Because I couldn't call it Kirby because, you know, I'd get sued, right? We're not up for that. But that's my current favourite. And I want to make a monster out of him. I've seen a pattern for a monster with a big fat belly, and I just thought that would be ridiculous.
And what about, because you've had project bags as well, haven't you?
Yeah, Joy from the Knitting Goddess.
The other Joy.
The other Joy, the other Joy in my life.
The real Joy.
The real actual Joy. She screen printed me some Rusty's ball bags. Project bags, so yeah, they've been really good.
They've gone down well.
I think people have appreciated that a little bit.
And
we're delirious. We're done.
And you bought your DK for the first time, I understand, to a show.
Did. So I kind of launched that in line with Anna Maltz's book, Mar Lyle.
Oh, yeah.
Because she did the Hoskobos, I'm going to be saying that wrong, she's going to kill me, hat. So I thought I would bring it along, and it's been well received because it is a 100% superwash New Zealand whole warf. That's a mouthful.
Yeah.
And the base is called Pew Pew.
Ah.
Which means rusty in Maori.
Okay.
So, yeah, and it's New Zealand's Polworth, and I was in New Zealand on my honeymoon, so it kind of just tied together beautifully.
Excellent. So what now, apart from the fact that you'll be de-rigging your store very soon?
Home Chinese jammies done.
Just chill out and relax for a few days.
Pretty much, yeah. What's next? Well, I'm going to revamp the shop a little bit, so Fluff's getting a bit of a makeover, and so is my website. And we all know how tedious websites are.
Yeah.
So that's going to take up some of my time. But it's all right. The other Joy is actually going to kick my butt into making sure it all gets done. But yeah, that's my plan.
Brilliant.
Deal with the shop.
So, oh, well, thank you for stopping.
No, thank you so much, Tanya.
We sound a bit drunk, don't we? I can assure you we weren't. We hadn't been on the gin. I think, as LJ said, we were delirious. We were just punch drunk. We were high on everything that was EYF, all those yarn fumes, all those wonderful people, all the whole atmosphere. And if only we could capture that feeling and bottle it and take it away back home with us. So how did I get the name Joy? Early in 2017, we were going on an event together, but we'd never actually met. We'd only met online through Twitter and Instagram. But because I knew that we were both going from Scotland and I, in effect, could pass nearby to where she lived, I offered her a lift. And I realised that I ought to actually send her a photograph as to what I looked like. Because at that time, I think there was only one photo online public of me. Whereas LJ was doing a lot of live Instagram stories at that stage. So, you know, there was no mistaking her. I wasn't going to miss her. I duly sent her a photo so she could see that I was real. I was this real person and I was okay. She was safe with me. So I picked her up and over the next 3 hours, we chatted away and got to know each other a bit more. And on arrival at this meetup, LJ knew quite a few of the people in the room and I didn't. And for some reason, she introduced me as Joy. Now, it was one of those moments where there was a bit of background noise and, you know, this whole sort of, hi, how are you? And so there was a lot sort of going on and people were chatting and I started to kind of question myself, did she really just say that or have I imagined it? So I was then kind of on the back foot thinking, do I say something? Do I not? What do I say? Do I correct her? Did she really say Joy? Maybe she didn't. Maybe I misheard her and she didn't say my name. It was quite a while later. In fact, I think it was the next day when we all had a good old laugh about it. And so within a small group of people in the yarn industry, I'm also known as Joy, thanks to LJ. And that was it. End of day three. End of Edinburgh Yarn Festival 2018. The buzz started to die down. The numbers in the venue rapidly dwindled and the last few people trickled out reluctantly. And then the task of taking everything down, packing it all back again, reloading vehicles, trying to push it all in, saying more goodbyes and going on our way. It's always a bit of a strange time for me. There's this lull as people leave and then there's this odd sense of urgency where vendors kick in to pack up. And there's this balance between getting everything packed away quickly and efficiently without just throwing it all in so that when you get back home, you're faced with such a mess you can't find anything. And of course, it's quite a juggling act as well to get it all back into the vehicle, because even though you've sold a lot, you still have the same amount of boxes and trolleys and grid walls and racks and display units, and they all have to go back in. It's a bit like a sort of one of these giant 3D puzzles in the back of your vehicle. Once we finally managed to do all of that and the shell unit was back to its empty state, That was us done, saying all our goodbyes and back to the hotel, back to the same restaurant across the road, who were very friendly to us, actually. They got to know us over the 3 nights, so good food, and then crashed out again. For me, waking up on Sunday, apart from the fact it had snowed overnight, and I always love seeing that fresh snow, it was a lovely feeling to know that I had my own little yarn festival to go to without thinking about my own stand. So this was like a little added luxury. And we had planned to be there for 2 hours maximum. And I think it was about three, almost heading for 3.5 hours. And there were 12 stands and I don't even think I got to half of them. And nor did I speak to everyone I wanted to speak to either. Over the 3 previous days, I'd periodically bumped into the gorgeous Mimi of podcast Yarn Chicks. And if you don't know Mimi, oh, do take a look at her online. She's so, so lovely. And she was helping out on the Hey Mama Wolf stand and had helped tell me about some of the yarn I was interested in. And we had first sat next to each other at the Cayley in 2017. So it was lovely to have the odd moments talking to her throughout the show. And Sunday was the same too. We got to have a little catch up. I was especially pleased to see Sue Horn of Hawkshire Sheep. Firstly, because of the snow, because Sue lives down in Lanarkshire and, you know, there was just this little wobble worry as to whether or not that would affect her getting to Edinburgh on the Sunday. Secondly, I was so pleased to see her here because I've been following Sue since she started her business and we were in the same aisle together at Woolfest last year and I love what Sue's doing and it was great to see her having such a successful show. And I purchased 100 grams of her Midnight Sky Hebridean and Shetland mix from her own sheep, 2016 clip. It's an Aran weight, woolen spun. And I'm thinking it's going to make a lovely chunky beanie style hat. And I need to look at a pattern for this. I also met Meg of the Berlin Yarn Company, who I followed online for a while. And I bought 3 skeins of her Hebridean and Cheviot mix and the Macca Wildflower Shawl Pattern by Emma Vining. I've already finished that. This is my post-EYF project. So anywhere I've travelled in the last few weeks since Edinburgh, I've done this pattern. It was a repeatable pattern, asymmetric shawl, and I was able to remember the pattern quite well, although it's got lace and bubbles in it. And yeah, I've really enjoyed doing it. It's now waiting to be blocked. I chose the colour that's called moss because it made me think of landscape colours that I've seen myself in the Outer Hebrides on the Isle of Harris, although I've not yet been to the Isle of Bernarea where Meg and the Berlin Yarn Company is based. You might be interested to know that the story goes a few years ago, a photograph of one of the beaches on Bernarea got used by Thailand's tourist board as an advertisement for one of the Thai islands. Yeah, go and Google it. Look it up. Honestly, I've not made this up. It just goes to show how idyllic the Outer Hebrides Isles are. Just a few degrees colder than the Thai islands. My next purchase was from Prado de Lana Sheep Farm. Hope I've said that okay. They had travelled over from Vermont, Pennsylvania. They had all natural colours, some pure breeds, and I loved talking to, I think it was Amanda, about their yarns, because all their natural colourways are named after each of the sheep that they've come from. When I was checking my details, because, yeah, true to form with no notebook, I was writing all my notes on a paper bag, which got scrunched up. So then I was having to try and, you know, not literally, but sort of iron out the bag to read my writing, which was not the best. And it was also in red pen. And I was writing it on the edge of my bag. Amanda actually helped fill in some extra details when I looked up the yarns that I had bought on her website. So first of all, I bought Ada. And Ada is a Romlink. So she's a crossbreed because her mother was a white Lincoln who was called Lulu. And her father was Augustus. And Augustus is a purebred Romney. Ada is a 2-ply bulky and I have absolutely no idea whatsoever what I'm going to do with this. It's just beautiful. It has a gorgeous sheen to it. I'm not quite sure how to describe the colour. I want to say beige, but that just does not do it justice. It's got like a golden hue to it. Almost a sort of honey hue. And it's got this flatness to each of the plies, which gives it a really distinct texture and a lovely sheen. I think I'm just going to admire and squish this and, yeah, for quite a while to come. As I had Ada, and with her father being Augustus, Augustus was sat there on the shelf, so I had to buy Augustus too. As I said, he's 100% Romney wool, and that was a 2-ply DK. And I'd probably call that more of a fawn colour. I decided to stick with the A's, as you do. So my last purchase from them was the A-Team. Yeah, the A-Team. Brilliant. Anthony and Abel, who are twin brothers. Can you believe it? And yes, good old Augustus was their father as well. Liesl was their mother, who is also a white Lincoln. So they are also a Rom Link mix. Gosh, that's a mouthful. And this was a two-ply worsted weight, darker in colour with this grey sheen to them. The colours are just beautiful. I don't think I've ever quite seen natural colours like them before. I am just going to sit and look at these for quite some time to come. They will get knitted up one day. Yselda, did you get to see her stand? Wow. I had gone away on Saturday night feeling a bit downhearted that I'd forgotten to go and look at her bookstall. And I was so happy when I saw she was there on Sunday as well. And I had a lovely leisurely look through all the books while I left Garrett sat there on his laptop. So if you were in there on a Sunday and there was a guy sat there on his laptop working, that was my husband, Garrett. I'm a bookworm anyway, and then put me in front of knitting books and knitting design books and knitting pattern stitch books. We shall say no more. Maybe I will reveal on another day what purchases I made there. I also got the chance to catch up with Croft29, who are from here on Skye. It was lovely to see them again. Their Hebridean is in my Shorelines and Strata limestone wool. And it was also lovely to see them having a place at this event too. And they certainly seemed to be very popular. They were right by Julie of Black Isle Yarns, who at the time I was there was so busy I didn't get a chance to say hello to her. Although I did chat with Emily of Flutterbean Knits, who was helping Julie. And Emily's just released an e-pattern book called To the Shore, which I purchased as soon as I got home from Edinburgh. It contains 5 patterns and they are all stunning. I can see myself knitting up each and every one of the patterns in this book. And that's not always the case when I buy a book. The photographs are beautiful because they start with the place, the inspiration, and then photographs of Emily wearing the designs. They're colourful, very well laid out. And you may well have seen Emily walking around during the course of the few days in one of her patterns, which is called Arena, which is a boxy style Fair Isle jumper. And it's knitted in Jameson's of Shetland Spindrift in the most amazing blues and yellows. It's gorgeous. I couldn't believe how full the marquee was on the Sunday. There were so many people in there knitting and chatting and relaxing, and it was wonderful to see and also to have the opportunity to get round and see people and say a few more hellos. I took some time out to look at Felicity Ford's display of swatches in the corner of the marquee. What an amazing sight. Well, just a kaleidoscope of colour, and then all that pattern as well, so much detail. And my copy of her Stranded Colourwork Playbook has not long landed on the doorstep. So I need more time off work and more tea and more cake. It looks an incredible source, inspiration and learning. So something else to indulge in sometime. And then sadly, it was time to leave. I really had to tear myself away from the Corn Exchange. I had an incredible few days there. Yeah, it was sad to say goodbye to everyone and to the event. A 5-hour road trip back home, although there was another treat waiting for me when I got home. Because one of the vendors whose yarn had caught my attention on the Instagram feed before the show was Hey Mama Wolf. And I was particularly interested in her Peace Silk, which is ethically sourced. And fortunately for me, now I know I'm going to get the pronunciation of this wrong, so I'm sorry. Huli and her family came to stay on Skye post Edinburgh, and they were literally staying in my little community a few minute walk down the road. So they all came over for a cuppa, and we had our own little pop-up yarn festival in my kitchen, and I got to go shopping all over again. So I got my Peace Silk, the number 10 premium quality and the number 5. And Hule also gave me one of her lovely wool soaps with lanolin. So I did really, really well. I've got some amazing memories of Edinburgh Yarn Festival and some beautiful purchases. So that's it for this episode, the episode on Edinburgh Yarn Festival 2018. All finished. Did you have post-Edinburgh blues like me? So much energy and emotion goes into preparing for a show like that. And then you have three enormously busy days and then it's over. And then you have follow-ups, things that come out of the show. It takes a while to come down from the high. And I know quite a few vendors, including myself, came down with germs, which is only to be expected. A, because you're in a space with lots and lots of people. And B, because of that energy that goes into it, you sort of keep going and keep going and keep going. And then you stop from that high energy pace. And that's when the fatigue sets in and you just become susceptible to germs. So it's taken me a while to get over those germs and feel a bit more like myself again. It was a hugely successful show for me. So thank you to everyone for making that happen. I would like to put out a thank you to all the helpers as well at Edinburgh Yarn Festival, and that goes to the volunteers who Joe and Mika organise. They are just remarkable. They're so, so helpful and cheerful throughout the whole of the show. Also, though, to our own helpers, whether that be family, friends, knitting friends, business workers, who get us there on the day. My thanks go out to David and to Joe, who both helped me in the run-up to the show. Particular thanks to my husband, Garant, the stalwart of my stand, who I could not have managed the show without. I know he spoke to many of you, passing on his Dorset button knowledge, and he even made a wholesale speaking French, using his schoolboy French and also his French that he used to use and learn through his rugby days refereeing in France. I've said that he's now ready to move on to his phase two of Dorset button training. He's going to kill me for saying that. And yes, he does listen to my podcast. Would you believe it? He does listen. So hi, Garant. Still, I think he's going to enjoy learning more about the history of Dorset buttons because he likes learning history. And he'll certainly enjoy that more than twisting and labelling wool, which I know he didn't rate as one of his favourite jobs to do. Ah, so that's it. My episode is at an end. And I'm sure I'm going to wake up tomorrow and think of a whole load more things I wanted to talk about. So next time, that little wee notebook will be in the money belt. Next episode, I will be back to the usual format with an interview for you and an update on all my making. So I'd better crack on with those outstanding whips. Till then, do get in touch by either dropping me a line at tanya@tjfrog.co.uk, or you can find me at www.tjfrog.co.uk or on Facebook and Instagram as TJ Frog Sky, Twitter as TJ Frog Makes, and Ravelry as Little Frog. The music's by Ron Paintant and is licensed from Melody Loops and called One Frog, Four Prince. Bye for now.